Okay, well, I haven't really worked in the field of superconductivity for, it's not quite a decade, but it's been a while. So I do ask myself why I'm here. I think I'm a foil, maybe. And I normally at this stage would thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to talk, but I think I will dispense with that. But I'm very much enjoying the conference. And I guess what I thought I would tell you about is some theoretical work that I've been involved with really over the last couple of years, which is on the exotic side, but it's pushing towards a theoretical description of a strange metal. It may not be the strange metal in the cuprates, or may not be a strange metal in any material, although until you really have a theory that you can work with, you don't actually know that. Call this a D-wave metal. And the long-term wish, and it really is just a wish, is to construct a theoretical description of the strange metal in the cuprates. So at the risk of being a little controversial, let me put some of the premises that underlie, you know, my thinking about the cuprates, at least during the periods of time when I'm actually thinking about them, which is that the strange metal holds the key. That is, I think the theory of high-temperature superconductor really must begin with a strange metal. Some very basic point is that low-energy physics should emerge from high-energy physics and not vice versa. So by exploring extremely interesting physics down at low temperatures and lower energy scales, I think it's essentially impossible to back out what's going on up at higher temperatures and energies up in this region of the phase diagram, the strange metal. Another premise, which is might be controversial, is that which underlies my motivation at least, is that the strange metal is a true zero temperature, non-Fermi liquid quantum phase or quantum phase transition, quantum critical point. Obviously, if this is correct, it would be cut off by the superconductor. But what I'm would like to think is not the case is that the strange metal is an incoherent finite temperature crossover, which is just particular to the cuprates. But there is really something, a universal quantum phase underlying here, which would be the analog of a Fermi liquid, but would be different in this context. So the pseudo gap in the D-wave superconductor within this way of thinking should be understood as instabilities of the strange metal in very much the same way that BCS theory, the superconducting state is within the theory is an instability of the Fermi liquid. You know, it's really a crossover from the Fermi liquid phase into the superconducting state. So I think an analog or generalization of BCS theory would be a crossover from the strange metal upon cooling into the pseudo gap, maybe the Fermi liquid, and certainly into the superconducting phase. The last point is that all of this beautiful symmetry breaking, the order that one's developing, you know, down at in these lower temperature regimes of the underdoped the region of the phase diagram, are perhaps a diversion, right? As far as the main issue, which ultimately is, I think, you know, why is it, as we say in this conference, why is the TC so high? So the strategy, at least I've been trying to follow, is to construct candidate non-Fermi liquid phases. Or that is non-Fermi liquid quantum states as putative strange metals. I have one joke slide which I've shown before, and I apologize for those of you who have seen this before, but whenever I try to badmouth order, I mean, everybody likes order, really, actually. Because you can see it and you can measure it. It's easier to measure than when you don't have order. It's easier to think about, you know, something periodic. We're very much like that. And it is very beautiful, and there's certainly absolutely fantastically beautiful experiments that we've heard about in this conference. But in addition to being a diversion, perhaps, for me, it's actually somewhat boring. So in any case, this is a rather small town that you will find near Zion Canyon, along one of the back roads there called Orderville. And it's fantastically beautiful, and but you wouldn't want to live there. That's Now, the irony is I particularly wouldn't want to live there, but there's only one store in town, and there it is. So I'm disappointing a great great uncle by bad mouthing Orderville or bad mouthing Order. So what's that? Yeah, no, that's true. that must mean something. I don't know. It's okay. So what I want to do then is just basically give, I guess, a progress report about the efforts I'm making, ongoing work with Lezek Mutronich down at Caltech, towards trying to develop a theoretical description of a, what we're going to call a D-wave metal. And underlying the D-wave metal is a quantum ground state of bosons, really hardcore bosons on the square lattice, which is in a liquid state, but it's in a non-superfluid liquid state, and we call this a D-wave Bose metal. Now, by way of motivation, I'm going to use the fractional quantum Hall effect, and you might ask why. Well, it worked for Laughlin. I mean, that's reason enough. But more seriously, in the fractional quantum Hall effect, one actually, first of all, has non-Fermi liquids, something called a composite Fermi liquid in the half-filled lambda level, and one also has high temperature pairing in the quantum Hall effect, not high temperature superconductivity, but high temperature pairing. And for those of you who aren't familiar with this, I'll just whip through it. So in the Hopfield Landau band, the system is actually metallic, as opposed to an incompressible quantum state like at one-third filling in the Laughlin state. And the physics is well described by what's called a composite Fermi liquid, which is a prefact of the Zi minus Ej squared, which is essentially a Laughlin state for bosons at half filling, times a filled Fermi C. Okay, so the composite Fermi liquid wave function is Laughlin times Fermi liquid, if you will, times a Fermi C. Now, in the second Landau level, but half filling and nu equals 5 halves, one doesn't find a composite Fermi liquid. What one finds is so-called Moore-Reed state, which can be understood as a paired state, state of composite fermions, composite Fermi liquid, And the wave function for that, which is the same prefactor out front, the Zi minus Ej squared, now times a Pfaffian. Now the Pfaffian is just a BCS wave function with symmetry P plus IP for spinless fermions. Okay, so this Moore-Reed state is Laughlin at nu equals 1/2 times BCS, times the BCS state. Now, in this quantum Hall problem, at least when one projects into the lowest Landau level, there's only one energy scale, which is the Coulomb energy. And in fact, what's analogous to the BCS gap here is comparable to that energy scale. It's comparable to the Fermi energy, what would be analogous to the Fermi energy in the composite Fermi liquid. So this is you know, high temperature pairing, if you will, or high energy pairing. And one can talk about, in the fractional quantum Hall effect, one can put back in spin, one can write down a wave function for a composite Fermi liquid with spin, a determinant of spin-up fermions and spin-down fermions, and the wave function for this is Laughlin, a bosonic Laughlin wave function times a filled Fermi C for spinful fermions. There was an attempt by Duncan Holden and Ed Rezai, who's here, who, to write down a paired analog of this composite Fermi liquid with spin, called the Holden-Rezai state, which basically is the Laughlin bosonic wave function at half filling times a D plus ID BCS state. And you know, one would like to think, at least in, although this doesn't appear to occur experimentally, if one had a system in the quantum Hall effect with a small Zeeman energy, so that one actually had a spinful system, a spinful composite Fermi liquid, perhaps it would be unstable to high energy D plus ID pairing. But that's, we don't know that's the case. Okay, so this is fine and well, but the composite Fermi liquid one's talking about here breaks time reversal invariance. And so what we want to do is the strategy here is to construct basically a time reversal invariant a version of this composite Fermi liquid, time reversal invariant non-Fermi liquid. And the point here is that this Laughlin nu equals 1/2 piece, if you take one of the particles at position z in the complex plane and you drag it around any of the other particle, z sub I, the ith particle, you pick up a 4 pi of phase. So that is the nu equals 1/2 Laughlin state for bosons has the prefactor here, which one has two particle correlations which are in the D plus I D symmetry. So whenever you bring two electrons or two bosons close together in the Laughlin-Nukes 1/2 state, they're going around each other with two units of angular momentum, D plus I D. Okay, so what we want to do is to try to construct a time-reversible invariant non-Fermi liquid is to construct a wave function for hardcore bosons in which the particles, when they get close to each other, are going around one another with two units of angular momentum, but at dxy or dx squared minus y squared symmetry. We want to put back in the time-reversible invariant. And then what we're going to do, once we've constructed such a bosonic wave function, we're going to multiply that by the filled Fermi C, precisely as worked in the quantum Hall effect. So the D wave metal that we will be pushing towards is a wave function for bosons, some sort of Bose metal for bosons, a D wave Bose metal, times a filled Fermi C. So essentially what we're doing is Gutzwiller plus. I think Phil and I would differ on this, but I would maintain that if you take a Gutzwiller projection of a filled Fermi C, projecting out double occupied sites, at least when you dope away from half filling, that this actually is a renormalized Fermi liquid. Yeah, anyway, I said we disagree. But now you can try to build in additional correlations if you want to make it more strongly correlated, perhaps putting in a Jastrow factor here, which is what's done in the normal state of helium-3, again, still a Fermi liquid. In order to construct a non-Fermi liquid wave function using this type of approach, starting with a filled Fermi C, I think requires modifying the sign structure of this filled Fermi C. And so if we want to multiply by a wave function out front, in this case, this D-wave Bose wave function, which is a non-trivial sign structure. And so we've spent a lot of effort trying to construct such a D-wave Bose metal, and very briefly, I'll just describe how we have done this. We take the hint from the Nukes 1/2 Laughlin state. The Nukes 1/2 Laughlin state is the square of a filled Landau level. It's a square of a determinant, the Vandermonde determinant. So the first thing one might think of doing to construct a bosonic wave function analogous to this in the time-reversible invariant context is to square a filled Fermi C. But that doesn't do the job because the wave function is then non-negative. So what we do instead is we take two Fermi Cs with elongated Fermi surfaces, one here D1 and D2, elongated in the x and y directions, and we construct a bosonic wave function for these particles by multiplying those two determinants together. And in doing so, if one focuses on the nodal structure of the wave function, what one finds is that whenever one takes one particle around the other, another particle, one has a dxy relative two particle correlations. There's no pairing going on in this wave function. It's just whenever two particles come close together, you take one around the other, it has a d-wave symmetry. Yeah, these are bosons. Oh yeah, these are spinless fermions. Yeah, yeah. And this is just a boson wave function. So, this is a construction of a wave function, which we argue is in a D wave Bose metal phase. This wave function, and by looking at invariation of Monte Carlo, has singular surfaces in momentum space. If you look at the boson correlation function, that is, if you look at the momentum distribution function for the boson. It is a singular surface in momentum space. We have been fairly concrete here over the last couple of years, is that we've been able to construct a Hamiltonian, which for hardcore bosons moving on the square lattice, whose ground state over a large region of the phase diagram actually goes into this D-wave Bose metal state. And the Hamiltonian is just hardcore bosons hopping on the lattice with a four-site ring exchange term, where you destroy two bosons, let's say, in the corner of the square and create them over here. And what we find by doing analysis on the two-leg ladder, which I won't describe why we do this, that we find a phase diagram for the two-leg ladder for this boson where we just have the boson hopping term, and we allow perpendicular and parallel hoppings to be different, and the strength of this boson ring term K So the phase diagram consists of a bosonic superfluid phase, and then this non-superfluid liquid phase of bosons, which is the, well, I've written here as D-Wave-Bose-liquid, which is the D-Wave-Bose-metal phase that we were after. Now, you might say, well, how does one know it's that? Well, what you can do is look at the momentum distribution function using density matrix normalization groups. Excuse me. No. Wow, that's a Freudian slip. I mean, I'm not a fan of dynamical mean field theory. I'll put out a challenge to try to reproduce this this state using it. But these are bosons. Yeah, they're hardcore bosons in the Hamiltonian. They're hardcore bosons in the wave function because they're a product of two determinants. The wave function vanishes whenever two particles sit on top of each other. What one finds in the superfluid phase is a essentially is what a quasi long range order at zero momentum. The bosons are trying to condense on this two leg ladder. They can't quite do it. For the DMRG, one finds singular structure at the incommensurate wave vectors, which move around as you vary in terms of the Hamiltonian. And the two curves here that are the almost lying on top of each other. One is the correlation functions computed from the wave function. This is just the product of two determinants. And the other is computed numerically for this Hamiltonian. Okay, so finally, in the last few minutes, and this is where we would like to start heading towards, is analyzing or constructing wave functions, I mean, a Hamiltonian, and perhaps solving the Hamiltonian numerically for a putative D-wave metal. I guess I've already mentioned, but the wave function then that we're going to take and that we're going to be exploring is taking a filled Fermi C of spinful electrons. I mean, I'm drawing it as a circle here. It doesn't have to be that, clearly. And multiplying it by, what I'm multiplying by here actually is the dx squared minus y squared Bose wave function, which is constructed by taking a product of these two determinants with elliptical Fermi surfaces rotated with one another by 90 degrees. So this is a wave function one can write down. One can do numerics on it, and we have yet to do that, but and try to calculate the electron electron momentum distribution function, and one's going to see violations of Landau, the Luttinger volume, for example. You're going to get the violations of that. This is rather abstract. How about a possible Hamiltonian for the D-wave metal? Well, following the same reasoning we used to deduce the Hamiltonian for this D-wave Bose metal, an analogous Hamiltonian for this putative D-wave electronic metal would be a Hamiltonian I'm calling the TK ring Hamiltonian. So imagine you take the TJ Hamiltonian and you put J equals zero. Let me just call that the T model. So you've got this no double occupancy constraint built in. And now I'm going to add, instead of a J term, although you can include the J term if you want, I'm going to add a term with coefficient k, which is a foresight ring exchange term where, in this context, I would destroy two electrons I consider foresights 1, 2, 3, 4. This term acts on foresights. It acts on foresights when there's a singlet of electrons on the sites 1 and 3, and two holes on sites 2 and 4, it destroys the singlet on sites 1 and 3 and creates a singlet on sites 2 and 4. So what this term is doing is taking a singlet of electrons and rotating it by 90 degrees. And if this coefficient k is positive, what that does is it puts in a minus sign when it takes that singlet and rotates it. So this term, if you consider what its effect on the Hamiltonian, will tend to get singlet electrons, I won't call them pairs, but rotating around one another in a dx squared minus y squared symmetry. It doesn't move the pair, so it doesn't actually drive you toward the superconductor, but it should destroy the Fermi liquid behavior that you would, I think, have if you just take the T model. Okay, so finish in a couple minutes. So just a few comments here. This ring term will be generated when projecting into a single band model. If you take LDA and do the downfolding where you're really keeping the full interaction and using the Vanier states, you will generate such a foresight ring term. It may not be very large. And the ring term operates when two doped holes are nearby. So the way of thinking here is not, I'm not really thinking about doping a Mott insulator so much as I'm thinking about a very strongly correlated non-Fermi liquid metal near optimal doping, or even slightly overdoped, perhaps. So if near optimal doping, let's say x equals 0.25 is overdoped, the distance between the holes is basically two lattice spacings. And so, terms in the Hamiltonian which act on two electrons and rotate them into those two holes are going to start potentially playing an important role. So here's my movie. I'm trying to compete with Seamus Davis. Check it out. Look at this. I'm going to just play it back and forth. Okay, so the phase diagram of the electron TK Hamiltonian, we don't know. It presumably will have a Fermi liquid phase when K is small. It could well have a D-wave superconducting state. This might drive superconductivity. Perhaps a D-wave metal, we don't know. And we can't analyze it, and we never will be able to in two dimensions. What we can do, and we're going to do in the future, is put the Hamiltonian on a two-leg ladder and attack it with DMRG and other numerical techniques. And on the two-leg ladder, we know a two-leg ladder can support a D-wave superconductor. A two-leg ladder can support the Luttinger version of a Fermi liquid. And the two-leg ladder, in principle, can support this D-wave metal. So we should be able to see whether with this Hamiltonian, whether this D-wave metal occurs in the phase diagram of a, of a real microscopic type of Hamiltonian. So I'm supposed to comment on various questions and that Leon put up there, and I don't really have answers to any of them. So I thought maybe I'd just finish with lessons that perhaps I could impart to anybody that has to listen. And since you're all sitting there, maybe you have to listen. The theorists, and perhaps the theorists that are a lot younger than me that really know that they shouldn't be listening to me, which is the strange metal is begging to be understood. And, we've seen very little work, reported in this conference talking about the strange metal. I mean, Phil, I think, was one of the exceptions, certainly. Order is beautiful, but perhaps peripheral. And if you don't have order, the wave functions can be useful. Right? I mean, you don't have an order parameter. What do you have? Well, you have the wave function. You have the correlations in the wave function. And we've learned that the sign structure of the wave function is very important. And I would say, finally, the TJ model is not the be-all, end-all. There can be other terms that really could be driving, the physics that's relevant to the coup rates. We just don't know. And I know I've gone over, but so the lessons for the theorists and... this is kind of an old joke that Matthias, Bert Matthias originally, I learned from Doug Scalapino, but the lesson to the experimentalists is don't listen to the theorists. So that's, anyway, thanks. So, thanks for listening. Don't believe them. Yeah, okay, you can listen, but don't believe.
Yeah, Matthew, I have a very harmless question. I'm just curious for a better understanding of this D-wave metal, right, for the bosons. So I'm prejudiced that it should always both condense in one or the other way. Now you went quick, and I saw your momentum distribution, and look at it, and I imagine that I could read it as a finite momentum superfluid or something. But you say it's a metal, it has no Meissner effect if it will be charged. How do you understand it?
Well, it's actually, it went much too quickly, but... On the two-leg ladder, you actually have, two transverse momenta, qy equals 0, qy equals pi. And here the momentum distribution function is singular on both of them. And these are what I call Bose points, just like a two-leg free fermion gas. And so we're starting to build up two legs, three legs, four legs, and what we hopefully will find is that we're building up a Bose surface, a singular surface in momentum space.
Just for the clarification, because you have a surface in momentum space, yeah. It's not a superfluid.
Well, it certainly, it doesn't have off-diagonal long-range order, and it doesn't have...
Yeah, so it's like
density.
When you couple in electrodynamic gauge field, there won't be a Meissner effect.
No, there definitely will not be a Meissner effect, yeah. No, it's a Bose metal. I mean, it's... Well, those are words, but it's definitely not a superfluid or...
I have a comment from Orderville, I suppose. So one of your unprojected wave functions is what we have called the nematic spin nematic, which I suppose when you project it may become this Bose metal. It has exactly the same. It's exactly the same.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, it is if you interpret those as.
If you think of one of the Fermi surfaces.
A spin up electron.
And the other as
a spin down electron.
It's exactly the same way.
Then it is. Okay? I agree.
Now, the difference is you project and we don't. And that's true. But so that's an important. I don't know whether that has a.
Well, I think, you know, if you took your model and put an attractive U in there,
yes.
Like actually, there's an intermediate phase that you can imagine where you form Cooper pairs, but the Cooper pairs go into a. This Bose metal state.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it does have some similarities, and you know, it's possible that this D-wave metal, you know, might have tendencies to, you know, nematicize, right? Because of these elliptical shapes of these Fermi surfaces.
There are other variants. I mean, in our paper, for instance, we show that there are examples which are isotropic, with the spin sort of winding around the Fermi surface.
Okay.
And that actually has rather more exotic properties, in fact.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Several things. You made the statement that the Goetz-Wheeler projection of a Fermi C is not a non-Fermi liquid. There is a proof of that it is not a Fermi liquid. That proof is on the web and is being prevented probably by someone in this room from appearing in Nature Physics. But yes, it's easily, it's a trivial.
Okay,
equation.
Well, I disagree with that.
Well, read my web statement on that, and I think you will agree. Number two, yes, the strange metal is begging to be understood, and it is understood. Hidden fairy.
Well, I disagree with that as well.
is undoubtedly.
With all due respect, Phil, I disagree.
Well,
you know, there we are. Okay.
Why don't you read it? It is.
Well,
it's
right at the beginning. The hidden Fermi liquid, the Goetz-Wheeler projected Fermi C. If I think that's a Fermi liquid,
it's not a Fermi.
Okay.
Liquid.
So if we disagree, if I was correct on that,
I have an explicit proof. It isn't that I'm just saying you're incorrect. I have written a paper which proves that it is not a Fermi liquid.
Okay,
there's one more thing I have to say. I have a paper, three quarters written, that proves that my strange metal wave function is an exact solution of a broad range of cases of the Hubbard model. And it's not just an ad hoc thing. It is an exact solution and extend and continues down to the relevant physical range.
I'm just curious, Phil, if you take bosons on a lattice and you do a Goetz-Wheeler projection, so you don't allow two bosons on any given site, is that a superfluid or not?
Yeah.
It is a superfluid. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But it is exactly relevant.
Okay.
These are exactly so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Matthew, going back to your TK model, if it indeed has a Fermi liquid phase at small k, is it reasonable to think what kind of instability of a Fermi liquid leads to your phase? Or can this instability be classified under the standard Fermi liquid Pomeranchuk type stuff? Or?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. No, I mean, I think, I don't see how to perturbatively, you know, reach this D-wave metal state starting from a liquid. I mean, what one's really doing is changing the sign structure in a rather dramatic way. Now, it's possible at the level of a wave function, we've been probably tuned continuously from a Fermi liquid into the D-wave metal. But at the level of an effective field theory, I'm not sure. But the bottom line is, I don't see how to access this from weak coupling analysis of a Fermi liquid. I mean, if there is a way, that would be fantastic. I mean,
one more question, and then break.
So, hardcore bosons I can also think of as spins, Bose, your almost Bose condensed state, I can think of semi-classically as being a ferromagnet with then fluctuations of some sort, an XY ferromagnet with fluctuations of some sort.
No, you can't. Well, you can, but it's not the right way to think about it. But well, it's because Steve, because it's got, you know, power law correlations both at momenta Q y equals zero and Q y equals pi.
No, so that's I was about to get to this. No, you're the first.
Oh, here, I'm so sorry, I misunderstood. I apologize.
So now here, the question I'm asking, I was getting to a question,
I'm sorry.
Is that I can imagine a classical state of the magnet which has some helical order of some sort at some wave vector that's determined by some balance of coupling constants. And if I then let that fluctuate, it'll give some sort of power law. Is that going to be, can I think of this as a quantum disordered version of some complicated helical?
Well, if you want to think along those lines, which might be a reasonable thing to be doing, you have to understand that you would have such helical, you know, power law structure at both Qy equals zero and Qy equals pi. And if one imagines going towards two dimensions, it would be along a whole surface mm-hmm. in momentum space. And so, you know, there'd have to be sort of these two.
Well, but so far on the two-leg ladder, I just have to think of it as two wave vectors.
Two modes.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, this stage, but on the three-leg ladder, it'll probably be three. I mean, we're just starting to look at that. So. No, I mean, that might be, you know, that it's sort of, that's not an unreasonable way to be thinking about it, but I think what that leaves out is a sign structure that, you know, starts giving one this putative Bose surface that seems to be, you know, coming. So.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone. And so we'll talk about it.